This is the Australia Report with Vic Aladev. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladev, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Well, thank you. Just having a chuckle at your comments on the border.
I'm telling you, it's the most frightening program ever. You know, you watch people and like, you know something terrible is going to happen. But the story with somebody getting this fine, more than $2,000 fine for bringing in a McMuffin and a ham croissant was a very, very funny story. I mean, not for them, obviously.
No.
All right. So the actual news from Australia, which is really what we do want to talk about, is Malkalifa. What's going on there?
Indeed. So we have been talking about Malkalifa for some years now. And just to remind people very briefly, she fled Australia over a decade ago. She was principal of the Adas Israel ultra-Orthodox girls' school in Melbourne. And when it became apparent that there were allegations surfacing about child sexual abuse at her hands at the school, she rushed off to Israel, and over the next approximately decade, there was an effort to have her extradited back to Australia to face trial. And her argument against was not fit to trial, not fit to be extradited, not fit to stand trial. Eventually, she was sent back, and the trial, now a five-week trial has been scheduled, charging her with approximately 74 charges of child sexual abuse. The trial was actually initially due to begin yesterday, then was due to begin tomorrow, and now has been postponed to August 22. And I guess you'll be asking, why has it been postponed? My understanding is that pre-trial arguments are still being put to the judge, and so the trial is now scheduled for August 22 at a county court in Victoria, which is where the state where Melbourne is. And what's also important to note is that the main protagonists are three sisters, three Melbourne women. And when they give evidence, their evidence will be in camera and not in public. Mm.
So it is likely to continue. I mean, there's no reason that she could delay this indefinitely.
Definitely does not seem that way at all. And in fact, a five-week trial has actually been flagged. So that is obviously a serious amount of time in any court case. So it certainly seems that it's certainly scheduled to go ahead. And as I say, pre-trial arguments are being put to the judge as we speak.
Okay, good. Sydney school threatened by falling enrollment, and high fees.
So this is an interesting, not just academically interesting, but a serious story. So at the beginning of this year, the JCA, which is the Jewish Communal Appeal, which does fundraising and planning for the community in the state, commissioned a report into the state of Jewish education in the state. And interestingly, the person who was heading it was a man named David Gonski, yes, former South African, but being here most of his adult life, and a very highly regarded business person, philanthropist, and advisor in the business world, and educator. And he chaired this inquiry, and they've just come out with their findings into the five main Jewish schools here in Sydney, and where they are falling enrollments, they are soaring fees, And the finding is that this will threaten the viability of the Jewish schools as families are being squeezed out of the private school system with the cost of living soaring and fees and income not keeping pace with it. And so a couple of possible suggestions have been flagged, such as merging some campuses, merging schools, selling off assets, having a central fee system. Because the figures which they're putting forward is that the five schools look like they could lose up to 400 students the next decade, which translates to literally millions of dollars. So that's a very dire situation for Sydney's Jewish school system.
Well, I would imagine this is not unique to Australia. I mean, this is the cost of Jewish education around the world is a very, very severe issue.
Indeed it is. And the fact that you know, the global financial situation, and we see inflation here, then everywhere, and in Australia, the bank, the Reserve Bank has been pushing up interest rates and cost of living rates monthly, which is unprecedented for years. And so the cost of everything has been going up daily. And just very basic stuff, you know, from avocados to lettuce to the most basic stuff, never mind petrol and everything else. So in terms of the Jewish kids, 40%, 42% of Jewish school-aged children in New South Wales attend a Jewish school. And so obviously that's a significant percentage. And the prediction and the prognosis, unless steps are taken, radical steps are taken to address this, the problem will be severely aggravated. So obviously one doesn't know how this will translate out, but I would not be surprised to see if there is not some merger of campuses, whether it's year 11s and 12s of this school and that school, or primary schools at particular ages, just coming together so you can have a rationalization of how many teachers you require for a given subject or a given cohort of kids, etc.
What's the alternative for parents? Are the state schools or government schools up to standard if they choose not to send their kids to a Jewish day
school? That's a very good question. And there are excellent government schools both at a primary level and at a high school level.
Mm-hmm.
And that right there obviously is
the problem.
Exactly right. And within that, there's an organization here called BJE, Board of Jewish Education, which provides Jewish education, obviously not comparable to what a Jewish school does, but provides some element of Jewish education in the state school system. And so that right there, as you say, is part of the issue, is that there are some excellent state schools, government schools, at a high school level and at a primary school level. And many families are saying, if I have to send two children, or let alone three, it's $100,000. And you know, that can help us buy a house. You know, which one do we give up on? And if there is quality state school education, which is, you know, borderline free, well, for many families, it's not even a contest.
Yeah, you see, I think that's the difference here in South Africa, where people don't really have the option of a state school because the standard isn't good enough for many parents.
Yeah.
So that means that they have to send their kids to a private school, whether it's a Jewish one or other one. They're still going to be paying for private education. So I think that is a very, very important distinction. But certainly this is a problem that Jewish schools around the world are facing, and that is the cost of tuition. Finally, Australia wins 99 medals at the Maccabiah, and placed third. This is amazing.
It is amazing. So Australia sent, as we mentioned before, the third largest delegation at the Maccabiah after Israel and the U.S. And Australia then, with 538 athletes, plus another 100 supporters, volunteers, etc., an incredible contingent. And Australia placed third with 99 medals, again, after Israel and the United States. And there were some amazing highlights, both at an individual level, e.g., there's a veteran golfer, his name is Roy van der Slay, who won his gold medal at his 12th Maccabiah game. I don't know how old he is. He's not 110 years old, but he attended his 12th consecutive Maccabiah.
That's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. And then Australia had four netball teams there. Three of them won gold and one won silver, all on the same day. So it was an incredible achievement. And of course, one has to just include as well the fact that there was a very sober memorial ceremony for the four Australians who lost their lives at the Maccabiah 25 years ago.
Absolutely incredible. But and is everybody back? Has the Australian team returned?
Indeed they have. Yes, and obviously people have gone here then and elsewhere on holidays, but yes, essentially, but the games are over and people are back. And while we're talking, and as a rugby tragic, I have to say, well done South Africa for winning the gold in the rugby.
Yeah, South Africa being South Africans are very, very proud of their achievement, of course. Vic Aladev, thank you. As always, Vic brings, we chat to Vic every Tuesday for the Australia Report.